At 11:14, Mabel Louise Stewart is here with us on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and doesn't feel like Tuesday for a lot of us entering into the work week a little later, but hello.
You know what? When we have a vacation day, it seems like the whole week is all
it tilts
messed
it all a little
up.
Bit. Yep.
Yes. Well, by the way, did you have a nice Memorial weekend? I certainly did. Emily and Kent, my beautiful granddaughter Emily and her husband Kent Dorney, the Dorneys, I should say, had us all over. There were 17 of us, and we had a good time of fellowship and eating so much good food. It's always so nice for me to get the family and have to be with the family and get together. And we had plenty of rain, didn't we? I don't know what it was like, but I'm sure the whole state of Wisconsin was rained on. And you know what? I am concerned for the farmers getting into their fields with their big equipment and planting those seeds. I know the last report I heard, there was only 20% that had their crops in. So do pray for them and also for those precious people who were victims of the tornadoes. Oh, my goodness. That is so, so devastating. So we have lots to pray about, don't we? And I'm so blessed to be able to be with you from time to time. I love visiting from the Word of God, and I hope that you can glean something from it that will make a change in your life. And by the way, I'm in the midst of a series of godly mothers found in the Old Testament. And I searched the scriptures, and I found five that I wanted to cover and visit with you. It's been a long time since I talked about any woman of the Bible, so I thought, now's the time. And of course, the month of May is known for Mother's Day. So, and by the way, there's so many lessons to learn from the lives of these families. And today is also another one, and I hope that you will be as blessed as I've been from going over the story again. This is another one that Mother used to teach us as children, and I'd say, Mother, tell us again the story of Hannah. So stay tuned and listen to the story and learn like I did the lessons that are so practical and needed in all of our lives. So I'm going to just go today verse by verse and just like being in a, I hope you can just play like we're in a Bible story, a Bible study together. So I'm just going to go, as I said, verse by verse and visit with you about what the Holy Spirit wants you and me to learn. And this story is found over in the book of 1 Samuel. And it starts right out with the first chapter. And it's about a family, and the father's name is Elkanah. And he was an Ephronite, and he had two wives, and that sort of makes us want to raise our eyebrows and say, oh my goodness, polygamy. And of course, that was against God's law. But it was a custom to allow it if the wife was barren. So that sort of sets the stage for this particular story. And it was a social custom, really, practically, if the woman was barren. And the reason that this was allowed was because in those days, in Bible times, and especially in that period of time, people were farmers, and they had all the land they really needed to have acreage and to put in crops. And so they needed help, and of course, help came from family members. So children were needed to help with the everyday work that needed to be accomplished. And also another problem that cleared up to have the second wife was if they didn't have sons, the family name would not be preserved, and it would not be able to maintain their family place in the tribal allotments. And then a woman without children would never be the mother or an ancestor of the promised Messiah. And that was so important. And so you can see why everybody was allowed to have the second wife under these circumstances. So it starts out by telling us that this particular man had two wives. One was named Hannah, and the other was named Peninnah. And so we see our story opening today, and of course Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And a little later you'll see that the Lord himself had shut up her womb. And you know what I really love about the Bible is that it tells it like it is. It doesn't leave out the bad part. It puts in both good and bad so that we can learn lessons. And it goes on to say, and this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord in Shiloh. Well, Shiloh was about 20 miles from where they lived, so they had a good hike, didn't they, with their families. But I guess they were used to walking, so that wasn't too far. So they headed over to this area to worship, and of course, this is where the main synagogue was located, and the ark was also there, so that they needed to go. And there were three festivals to attend, and if they lived a distance, they were only required to go to one. So this was the big deal of the year, to go and celebrate together as a family. And so we see them leaving to go to worship. And it said, at this time, Elkanah offered to give Peninnah, his wife, and all of her sons and daughters their tithe to take along. But he said unto Hannah, he gave her a double portion because he wanted to be good to her because the Lord had shut up her womb. And of course, to a woman and even to a family, that was a tragedy because having children was the joy of their life. The Bible talks about blessed is the family whose quiver is full of children. And then every time they would go up, Peninnah would irritate Hannah by teasing her and provoking her because she didn't have children. That was cruel, wasn't it? And it says, as they went year by year, they would go up to the house of the Lord. Peninnah would provoke Hannah until the point where she would weep and refuse to eat. So it really was devastating to Hannah for Peninnah to remind her that she was childless. And then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why are you crying? Apparently, he might not have been as aware of all of the provocation that Hannah was going through. I doubt if he knew all of what was going on. But now Hannah was crying and refused to eat, so this really brought Hannah to his attention. And he said to her, why are you crying? And why aren't you eating? And why is your heart grieved? And then he gave her such a sweet statement. And remember, he loved her the most because she was his first love. And he said to her, am I not better to you than 10 sons? Oh, my goodness, how sweet of him to show his love that way. Hey, I'm more important to you than if you had 10 sons. That's pretty nice, wasn't it? So it says that Hannah rose up after they had eaten. So apparently he talked her into eating something. And after they had eaten in Shiloh, and then Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. So the present high priest was, his name was Eli. And then it goes on to say, and Hannah was in bitterness of soul. I guess you can say she was at the end of the rope. She was really feeling bad, distressed, and she was at the end of herself. And so she was standing there at the altar crying. And while she was there, she began to pray. She was a godly woman. And she began to do the thing that she was supposed to do, and that is go to the Lord. When we have problems and we are just so distressed, we don't know which way to turn, the best way to go is the way she went, and that is to the altar and to go in prayer. And it says that she vowed a vow and said, oh, God of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your handmaid and remember me and not forget your thine handmaid, but will give unto me a man child or a son, and then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. There were three things that you had to do if you were a priest or to become a Nazarite. And that was you would have to refuse any strong drink. You would have to never cut your hair or your beard. In other words, you would look different than others, and you would never go near to a dead body. So those were the three requirements of a priest. And so here she is promising the head priest that if God would answer her prayer, she would give that baby back to God the rest of his life. Just think, give me a gift and I'll give him back to you. So it says, it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord, standing there at the altar, the high priest Eli watched her. Apparently he was aware of the people who came and went, and he watched her lips move, but no voice coming. And so he accuses her of something. Now, let me read it. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah was speaking in her heart, not with an outward voice. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. So Eli thought she was drunk. Oh, my goodness. Do you think people came in drunk and went to the altar to pray? That would be interesting, wouldn't it? So Eli, the high priest, said to her, "How long will you be drunk? Put away the wine from you." And Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord." And so Eli said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition, and he will give you what you've asked." And she said, "Let your handmaid find grace in your sight." So Hannah got up or left the altar. She ate, and her countenance was no more sad. That's the way to get up from prayer. Confidence. Believing that what you've asked will be answered. What a lesson for you and me. How many times have we prayed and doubted and wondered and questioned our very prayer that we had asked of the Lord? How foolish not to believe that our great God was more than able to help us out of our problems and to answer our prayers. Well, stay tuned to my next broadcast and let's learn many lessons from this beautiful story. It's been so good to be with you. Bye-bye.